This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I feel like in the previous years, like, everybody knew exactly where the football was going, which is cool. Like, we had Diggs and we had those guys, Gabe. We knew exactly where the ball and was going. Now we have a whole Rolodex of guys that could do it. We could leave the ball in Cook's hand. We could put it in Dalton's hand. We could put it in Knox's hand. We could put it in 13. We could put it on zero. Like, we could put it on 10. We could put it on 15. Like, we could put it on so many different guys at any point in the game. And I think that that's what is keeping the game more exciting and more fun, because don't nobody know where that ball is going.
Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins. Bills leaning into the idea everybody eats. Respectfully, the defense is getting that as well. Heard a stat, 11 different defenders pressured Trevor Lawrence in that game. 11 different players got credited with a pressure of Trevor Lawrence.
That's 11 different players?
Yeah.
Because they, what, had blitzers coming in,
and,
right?
And all the linemen and
Jamarcus
backup linemen.
Jamarcus Ingram had a sack. Yeah, the back, right. Javon Solomon got in at the
end. Tuhill had a sack. Like, you had 11 different players credited with a pressure in that game.
Tuhill's sack was the ghost spin.
Yes, it was.
As it's being called by some.
Happy Wednesday. Good morning. We're getting ready for Sunday Night Football. Ravens-Bills. I do have a small dilemma. I think I'm going to have people over, make some food.
Okay, on a Sunday night?
Yeah.
You got to serve before the game, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be ready before the game.
But if you wait till the game, everyone gets settled and, like, we're eating at 9 o'clock.
Also, it's dark outside. I'm going to be smoking something. The question is, you know, I'm not going to do smoked crab cakes or anything like that for Baltimore. You know, you try to make it, you know, relate to the team they're playing. Have done Nashville hot chicken, Kansas City. Nice. You know, it's barbecue, brisket, a lot of options. Baltimore.
Old Bay.
I'm gonna smoke some wings and do Old Bay wings. Have done that before.
Not a big fan.
It's
like, you know, it's not bad. I can eat it.
I agree.
I would never go seeking it out. Like, oh, I gotta get. We're in Baltimore. Let's get some Old Bay. Just nah.
I agree.
Don't need it.
I'm gonna
it's
make
fine.
Them though. It's fine on wings. It's fine.
They should. They've got an opportunity maybe to be known for something that's, you know, better.
What else does Baltimore make?
Crab cakes, right?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Crab cakes and football, that's what Maryland does.
That's right, that's right. 803-0550 if you want to join us. All right, so who is ready to talk about the one seed? And in this conversation, I'm going to tell you about Christmas Day and what a big deal Christmas Day will be for the one seed.
Okay, which is exactly 3 months from today?
Yes. There's a story that Netflix asked Fox for Tom Brady for the broadcast for Christmas Day.
Wow.
Netflix wants Brady.
Right, because they have to borrow everything.
Yeah, that's right. Netflix, they've already agreed CBS is going to produce their games.
Okay.
But
they
need
people to
call
it.
They need broadcasters. Yeah. And Netflix asked for Brady. Fox said no. You can't have him.
Okay.
So no Brady on these games.
They should have been asking for Greg Olson anyway.
Probably.
Maybe they'll get Greg Olson.
No Brady. But the two games on Christmas Day. Yes, we are looking ahead 3 months. You can say, guys, why don't we take this one game at a time? And I'll say we have lots of time to talk about this. Chiefs-Steelers and Ravens-Texans. That is Christmas Day. Think of any other teams that you would consider. If we're about to have a conversation about who's going to be the one seed.
Yeah.
Not that Pittsburgh's going to be good, but don't discount the idea that it could be one of those years where an actually kind of not that good team becomes the one seed, like when Tennessee did.
Tennessee did it.
Like, it happens. So yeah. You get those. But if right now it looks like Bills and Chiefs are on a collision course. Ravens got off to a bad start. The Bills beat them Sunday.
Oh, they'll be three games back of that? Making that up is going to be impossible.
Basically, 3.5 games back of the Bills.
You can basically eliminate them for the one seed. They would have three losses.
Yeah, and a tiebreaker loss to you.
I mean, usually three losses is what you need to get it. They might have to. I mean, you'd have to win out to have a good shot, probably, at it. To that be possible, you probably have to only lose one more game. The odds of that happening, if the Bills were to beat the Ravens, you'd basically be taking them out of the one seed.
I think so. You'd have to finish. They'd have to finish a full game ahead of the Bills. Even if they finished 12-1, it wouldn't matter if the Bills had the same record.
Right.
So, should we be thinking about that? The one seed.
I think a little bit. I think they've played their way back into that conversation. They've earned being back in the one seed, making one seed the conversation again. Right? There was not that before the year. That was the division and, just get in, right? How many times did we take a call before this season? We're like, you know what? This year, I'm good just getting in and seeing what happens. Even if it's a road playoff game at the start. But they've earned the right to escape that. They're not in that line of thinking anymore. They look like the best team in football right now. So, okay, let's dive in and see what they've got to do and who their biggest competition is to skip a playoff game and then have every game after that be at home. Which sometimes can be, you make this point about the Eagles a lot. It doesn't always work out in your favor where you get lucky. You could play the Chiefs right in week two. It could fall that way. But there's once in a while where, hey, look, the Eagles were the one seed. They didn't have to play in the wild card round. Then they got the Giants in week two.
Yeah.
The Niners one was just a freak accident. But
you're two wins away from the Super Bowl, and both games are home.
The one seed that year, it was one year, but that year was a free pass to the Super Bowl. Sometimes it can go that way.
Yeah.
And I think the Bills look like a team. What would stop you right now from thinking they can be the one seed?
Right, they have a very good defense, it appears.
Guys that are missing.
Yep, their offense appears to be on schedule. It's not to say there won't be adversity or losses or trouble along the way, but they certainly look the part of a team that's going to be a contender.
Well, my big concern with them, because right now you break it down, their defense looks great, their defensive line looks amazing, Vaughn looks like he's back, that was a question mark. All the question marks, to me, are being answered slowly here at the start. Safety looks fine. That was a question. And Von Miller's status looks fine. And offensive line, they might have the best offensive line in football right now. And for me, a big reason why I'm happy to think they could be the one seed is my biggest concern was, is somebody going to step up at wide receiver? Even just one. And right now that is happening. Khalil Shakir's done it. I think the confidence that he's given me in the Bills offense, I think that is answering the one blank that I thought could really hold them back from right top of the division again, being in the conversation with Kansas City.
One thing about this general conversation, this is a Diggs adjacent point. It's not actually a Diggs point. Are they ready for pressure, or will they find a way to not feel it? Because one theme from training camp this year was, we're having more fun, right? It's just looser. Everybody's looser. Can't explain it. Everybody's looser. And my thought on that was expectations are lower a little bit. You're not hearing as much as, it's the Bills or bust, right? Best roster in football. When they sign Vaughn, they've got to win it. When they lose in 13 seconds, they've got to win it. When they lose to Joe Burrow and the Bengals here at home the next year, it's about proving that the reason you lost was because of what happened with the Hamlin game, and mentally you were there were reasons to prove that what happened and what went wrong, you've got to undo that. The Bills should have won by now. And with all the names that departed, it's a lot of leadership, sure. Captains, old leaders. Again, like I said, it's not a Diggs point. That's Gabe Davis. That's Mitch Morse. That's Poyer, Hyde. You might think these guys are all past their primes, and you might be right about all that. So it's a fresh group. It's a new group that has not been through as many playoff disappointments or playoff duds, if you will. The Bengals game is a dud. This last game against Kansas City, not so much of a dud, but it's a loss. And I felt like when they were talking in training camp that the pressure, that they were having more fun, I thought, that's because you're not feeling it the same way. There's a refreshing of people. Draft picks, Free agents, new receiver room outside of Shakir, right? Everybody's gone. Everybody's new. And I wonder if they get to 5-0, 4-0, 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Will they start to talk about it? This team openly talked about the one seed as a goal in previous years. And I'm not sure that they will start to have that conversation again the same way. They might, but...
It'll be hard to avoid, though, if they're... they're beating... Especially this next three-game stretch. If they go on the road twice in prime time, and I'm imagining the Houston game, most of the country is going to get that one, right? Or at least the 1 o'clock game on in week 5 or whatever it is. The next three games against the Ravens, Texans, and Jets all on the road. If they come away with that stretch and are 6-0, or if they're 5-1, they win 2 of the 3, there's no avoiding it.
Yeah.
They are going to be the favorite for the one seed. They are going to be talked about that way. They're going to be asked questions about that. Not just even when, you know, the local media guys are talking to him, but when... These guys do national interviews, too. When they're on with Kyle Brandt, when they're on with Diana Rossini, when they're on NFL Network, whatever. What are the questions they're going to be getting?
Are they going to just
What are the points brought up to them?
Are they going to be able to say, yeah, you know, we're just having fun. We're not worried about that right now.
But even that, like, they'll do that, but they're on social media once in a while. I'm sure they're scanning it. They're going to see the noise. They're going to see that everybody is going to be picking them to win the one seed and the conference, maybe even.
The potential... Again, like we're going far here, but when you lose on the road in the playoffs, you were likely the underdog. When you lose as the one seed, you were supposed to win, right? You were at home. They finally got Mahomes here last year in a game, and they weren't 100%. So, okay, you've got your excuses. But I think about Baltimore as a one seed out right away in week 1.
Yeah.
They lose to Tennessee that year, or was it the Chargers that year? Whatever.
I think it was Tennessee.
They had a 14-2 season. They're out in the first round. We mentioned the Titans all the time. It's like one of those fake one seeds that lost early. And I'm not sitting here saying like, oh, they're going to have an amazing season then have a bad day. But that is, right, you're talking about whether or not they answer questions about pressure. It just all kind of comes back. It reminds me that when we get into a football season, this can be about everybody eats. It can be about expectations. It can be about a lot of things. You like to talk about and say that what you have is what you want. So, you know what? I'm glad we're flying under the radar. Was a constant point brought up on these airwaves from Bills fans. And I think that is over. They're not under the radar. This is not an under the radar season. Not right now. In fact, even if they kind of get back under it because they lost a couple, it'll be what happened? What's going on? How come you can't sustain this? You are off to such a good start that not continuing on this trajectory, even though you're going to have bumps in the road, like people are now expecting the collision course here between the Bills and probably the Chiefs. I mean, the Bengals. The Bengals are winless.
Oh, man.
The Bengals, the Jaguars, these two teams that might as well be toast.
Who else are you worried about?
Houston, who has not looked strong. It's the Chiefs who, we'll see. But, man. It might all just be lining up for them, and I mean, giddy up. It's fun times. Eddie in North Buffalo is up on the phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, J&J. Thanks, guys. Listen, the older people, Jeremy, you're not older yet, but you're getting there. You might remember my principal and I had a take on the overall building of what's been going on in this coming season. But if you remember, back in the day, there was a team that was pretty dreadful for a number of years. And then they got good, and they made the playoffs. They lost, and then they really got far. They had a game in the bag, and they lost on the last second dropped ball. And then the team kind of went into an internal turmoil. There was a lot of internal fighting. There was even a name for that team. The following year, they came back with a solidified sort of internal mantra of team first, sort of a everyone eats mentality, and they went to 4 straight Super Bowls. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Eddie.
The thing, though, is this is a different group, which was just kind of pointed out here. Like, that's the difference between that era and this one. The bickering Bills, right, is that was – who were the bickering Bills? It was Kelly and Thurman and Andre Reed and Bruce Smith. And who were the guys that went to the Super Bowls? It was Kelly and Andre Reed and Bruce Smith and Thurman. And right now – you just went through the list. Diggs is not here. Davis is not here. Morris is not here. Hyde's not here. Poyer's not here. Trey White's not here. Like, the core group around the quarterback is not the same. It's almost completely different. The leaders in the room, the best players, different. So, do they react differently? Do they play looser when they get to those moments? Or do they play tighter because they've never been in it before? That kind of what makes this year fun, though, is that it's kind of... It's different, but there's an maybe there is an unknown. Should I just expect, or should I just sit here and say and listen to, okay, well, oh, here's the Bills. That's normal. They look great in September, and what's going to happen? They're going to lose to the Chiefs in January. Like, okay, like, I think it's fair to say that because it's happened 3 years, but whole new cast and crew around the quarterback, I don't know, like, maybe I should think about this being the 1 year that could be different. The guy actually that made this point, I saw a 3-minute clip of Nick Wright yesterday on Twitter where I was expecting him to drop a banner above him that said Bill September Champs.
You're ready to get trolled.
Right, ready to get trolled because that's usually his go-to in September. And do you know what he did instead? He started telling a story about a football team that lost their best player, that was just coming off a loss to their rival in the playoffs, that everyone in the media said, down year because they lost that top player, and then what'd they do? They won the Super Bowl. Nick Wright went on the air yesterday and compared the Bills to the 2023 Kansas City Chiefs. That guy might even be believing in them a little bit more because it's a different group.
Well, he's going to have to change his mind soon.
Oh, well,
pretty soon.
That's not going to last.
Pretty soon, that September Champs banner is coming down.
I mean, it's up there probably.
He's getting ready. 803-0550. The other thing I'm always inclined to point out is that I think a lot of the stuff about like bickering and infighting and this and that, I think that happens all the time with lots of teams. And the difference is we don't hear about it as much. I mean, Travis Kelce pushed his coach on the sideline during the Super Bowl. They won the game. End of story. Like,
yes, he did.
That happened during the game.
I mean, we're pretty sure the Eagles quarterback and coach hate each other right now, don't we?
Yes. I think all that stuff...
That we did find out about. Yeah. We just don't spend every day on it because we're not in Philadelphia.
And that's not to say you want it. It's just to say that I think a lot of that stuff is so much more common than we're ever really in on. The NFL, you know, this is a bigger point about how the league is covered and how its partners from Fox to CBS... I mean, think about it. We learned a little bit. Tom Brady's not allowed to criticize officiating on the broadcasts. He's not allowed to do it. Protect the shield. Protect the league. You could be suspended for conduct detrimental to the league as a player, right? It's just they control their own message a lot, and these teams do as well. Their own everything from their own websites to just everything is very controlled, the messaging. If two people on the team hated each other and fought in practice and the media wasn't there to see it because now more practices are closed, would anybody find out? Would you know? If they argued, if they yelled? Like we kind of just... That stuff is the idea of the bickering Bills. I don't know if you would find out the same way that you did. And players are coached more on how to speak, on how to say nothing. Here's a 7-minute interview and the player is not going to say anything. They're going to protect the message. You're always constantly avoiding, unless you're Cam Taylor Britt of the Bengals, you're constantly avoiding bulletin board material. These players,
the Bengals in general. Chase talks a lot too, right. Doesn't he?
Yes, he does. The Bengals talk a lot.
Yeah.
Mixon, Chase, Cam Taylor Britt.
So is there a team, by the way, in the AFC that like right now it feels like Chiefs and Bills are just on a crash course for each other? Is there a team in the conference that you're expecting, like, by in a month, they're going to have it together and they're going to be a part of this discussion?
I think
the Bengals might actually be toast.
That answer could very easily be Houston. Okay. They got hammered by Minnesota. Right now, Brian Flores in Minnesota is doing great things with that defense, and Houston wasn't ready for it. So I think it's very possible Houston could be right there. I mean, look at their division. The Jaguars, dead. The Titans, Will Levis, exciting, but
they feel dead.
And then the other team is Indianapolis, where, you know, it's a little bit rough for Richardson. There's highlight reel plays, but yeah. I mean, Houston, that division went from looking like it might have three good to decent teams. It looks like it's got one to me.
And that's real. Yeah, that's it. And the one other that needs to maybe be mentioned here, even though I'm still not believing that this is going to get there, the Jets are 2-1, and that's in the Bills division.
Right.
They have two meetings with the Bills, and we don't know how those games are going to go. The Jets have an opportunity to join this party, especially if they, I mean, that's a team that has given the Bills headaches when they don't have a quarterback. And if Rodgers is playing even the way he's played right now, which is, last week he deserves credit. He looked awesome last week. But weeks one and two, more game manager-like, that plus a defense that often gives Allen headaches, the Jets are at least worth a mention here.
The Jets play the Broncos this week, and then they go to Minnesota. Like, that's another good test. Minnesota just made the Texans' offense look like it had no answers.
London.
Yeah, that's right? You're right. That's in London. They play Minnesota in London.
Okay.
And then it's Bills Jets. So,
that's a break for them, by the way. They don't have to go to Minnesota and play a road game.
Right. And by the way, how about this? So it's the Broncos, and then it's Vikings, Bills, Steelers for the Jets.
Well, not as easy maybe as you might have thought.
Maybe not.
A few weeks ago.
803-0550. When we return, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. We'll chat with him. We talk on Wednesdays, see what he thinks about this this team and where they are right now. Are they surprising to any observer that thinks, I thought they'd be good, but they look even sharper than I would have imagined at this point. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call if you want. Happy Wednesday. Cruising through a Wednesday on the way to Sunday Night Football, another primetime game for Bills and Ravens coming up.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I think they're trending in the right direction, Catherine. I hope we don't have to do that. If so, we've wasted a couple weeks here or so. But I think we're rather confident about their timeline, and it's going to probably bump up into that 2.5 to 4 week area. But I just feel like where we're at with it is we're moving forward in a good way, and we are looking forward to getting those guys back. But they're not going to be back. They will not return this week.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott rules out Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson for Sunday night's game against Baltimore. Gives kind of the timeline update on when they could return. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast joining us on the Western Hotline to chat about the Bills' domination of Jacksonville and the upcoming game against Baltimore. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great. I mean, this season, it's not like this season was ever going to be a lost year, Joe, but it does feel like in three short weeks, the Bills have given Bills Mafia a reason to just kind of look forward, like, all right, it's one of the regular Josh Allen, Sean McDermott years where being a real contender seems like a real thing once again.
Yeah, I think that's true, but it's also a very different team in terms of how the look and feel of it is. And, the Bills have had good starts. I mean, obviously last year, the week one was a disaster, but they, mopped the floor with their next three opponents. So we've seen this happen. And then, by midseason, you're firing your offensive coordinator and needing to rally to kind of achieve what you want. So, the NFL season is short and long all at the same time, but I don't think you could be anything but impressed by what the Bills have shown through 3 weeks, and especially the adaptability of how they can play the games and how non-game script dependent they are. And I think that's where I would find hope for the sustainability of this, in addition to a renewed sense of leadership throughout the entire operation. So, long season, but off to a great start.
Yeah, after week one, Joe, we had talked about it, and you said you look forward to perhaps a little bit more versatility, variability in the offense that Joe Brady called. Not that it was bad in any way, but just, we'll see if they do some more things. Miami game, we see a half a game and the defense dominates. Was this game against Jacksonville something you'd been looking for from them?
Well, I think you saw really the full breadth of what the offense can be. Versatile run scheme, running a lot of zone and gap, You saw the play action, 32% play action in this game. I think Jacksonville and their appetite for man coverage just opened up a ton for this offense. I'm really surprised that they stuck with that plan, especially kind of being undermanned at corner. And then, of course, their slot goes down, their backup slot goes down early on. It was interesting to see them kind of stick to who they were. And, I mean, that probably stems from, okay, you want to become a zone team. Well, there's a lot of communication involved there. And so I think you just kind of have to choose your path, and neither one's very attractive. But playing man coverage allowed the Bills to dictate terms, and Josh Allen was able to utilize a lot of the answers that Joe Brady built into the game plan with motions and how that created matchups that were favorable, how that created space and tells for Jacksonville. And, you know, I thought Josh Allen did a really good job of executing the offense, taking what the defense gave him, and then, you know, being choosy with some of those shots down the field. And, you know, it was, I mean, come on, six touchdowns by six different players, five touchdown drives to start the game. You know, that's good football.
You know, it's funny, like, we've watched this team try to turn into an offense with more yards after catch, Joe, and it never really took. And this year, it has really started to take. I was looking at some numbers. Like, the yards after catch per reception is up over seven. A Josh Allen offense has never been above six before. Like, they're getting that. His depth of target is down as well. So this transition to a quicker, faster, more efficient, his completion percentage is way up. Interceptions, there haven't been any. To me, the whole thing looks like, It's right now, again, everything has to be couched with it's week three, but it really looks like Allen is completely buying in complete command. And what you have is an offense that, as Joe Brady has built it, I mean, it's running about as efficiently as you could hope for right now.
Yeah, I think that's always kind of been the intrigue of this season, is what does Josh Allen look like with the freedom to execute? There's no stress. I'll say what the coaches and players won't say. There's no stress for Josh Allen to throw the ball to Stephon Diggs 150 times. There's no stress to prove to the world that Gabe Davis is actually a legitimate number two wide receiver. All right? And with those narratives gone, Josh Allen can just run the offense. And he's not getting bored with the checkdowns. I mean, I love that against Jacksonville. You know, I think these quarterbacks, it's hard for them. They want to make these big-time throws down the field. But Tom Brady's going to go in the Hall of Fame and be known as the greatest quarterback of all time, because you know what he did? For 20 years, just took what the defense gave him and did the smart right thing with the football. And you're seeing in the Jacksonville game, they're dialing up play-action passes. Jacksonville's taking away the deep stuff. And Josh Allen checks it down to James Cook on first and 10 on a play-action pass. He gets 17 yards. There's nothing boring about that at all. That's good offense. That's smart. And I think you're seeing this yards after catch piece develop, you know, due in part to, I think, the talent that exists. I think there's good yards after catch talent in a Khalil Shakir, in a James Cook, in a Dalton Kincaid. But also, it's the decisions that Josh Allen is making. You know, you have to be willing to give guys chances to catch and run. But then also the ball placement. You know, Josh Allen's putting the ball on the money. Look at the Khalil Shakir touchdown pass last week. Just a little shallow drag. There's nothing special about that play design. It's just, hey, the protection holds up. It's man coverage. Shakir's able to run away and hit the player in stride and give him a chance to stay up and run. And I think that's as big of a deal as anything as it comes to the yards after catch dynamic, is Josh Allen being accurate with the football. And you heard him talk this offseason about, hey, the emphasis is mechanics. He has to remap the mechanics, has had an elbow and a shoulder the last couple of years on the throwing arm. That's created some deficiency in his motion. It's affected ball placement. Let's figure out what that's about and get it corrected. And he has. I mean, Josh is really clean mechanically right now. And so I think all of that baked together is what's leading to a lot of this post-catch production that we hadn't seen in previous years.
Yeah. Is it interesting, the way that it's going, like, this is what you just talked about, something Mahomes has been doing for a couple years, right, where his average depth of target was lower. And I just saw Kevin Cole put out a tweet about the quarterbacks in the league, that basically the Bills are getting more EPA from Yak than any other team in the league. Like, they're one of the best teams at it in football through three games. You are still, Joe, getting, like, the occasional deep shot, but it's almost interesting that they're going to running backs, right? Like, Ty Johnson's got a couple, they're a little further down. James Cook dropped one. Is that kind of how you expect the right balance to be here, where you're going to see a lot happening around the line of scrimmage all year because the Bills personnel has that advantage? And then maybe more of your plays down the field are Allen scrambling around, just kind of waiting until somebody comes open.
Well, I think in both of the matchups that he took last week, you know, the James Cook drop down the field and then hitting Ty Johnson down the field, that's an example of dictating matchups. The Bills use motion to force a linebacker on a running back. And they did that with Curtis Samuel against Miami, and Josh just left the throw a little bit short, that end zone target. And so being able to use motion, force a matchup, get a mismatch, and like, hey, you're low 4.4 speed, in the case of Samuel, 4.3 against the linebacker is a great matchup. And so take it. And that kind of that rail route concept gives the receiver, I guess, the back in this situation, a lot of space to work with because of how the coverage is pulled towards the inside within breaking routes, and then just a lot of space for them to find space to work along that sideline. And so I think they're dictating matchups, and those are good matchups for the Bills. They've had some good looks down the field to MVS. I think it's just a matter of a couple of protection issues and maybe Josh just being a little bit off on some placement. But I really like how Brady's getting to the vertical stuff. It's you know, there's when guys are specialized with their skill sets, it's predictable what they do. And I think to be able to involve a number of different players down the field and doing so by getting matchups, I think it's a pretty smart idea. And I'm obviously excited to kind of see how that evolves throughout the course of the season.
Quickly to the defense, Joe, how did they make the Jaguars look that bad? Like, the conversation about Trevor Lawrence is shifting and how bad Jacksonville could ultimately be. I mean, the spin move to nowhere, missing open targets. I mean, they were ready for everything Jacksonville had to offer.
Yeah, in studying Trevor Lawrence leading up to the Bills game, I found some very concerning metrics. And this blend of high percentage of throws to the first read, I mean, like 77%, that's Tua territory, with a high average time to throw while also facing a lot of quick pressure. It's a bad recipe, right? You can't throw the – and then 20% deep percentage, just throwing the ball down the field more than any other quarterback. So you're locking onto your first read, you're throwing the ball down the field, you're holding onto it too long, you're getting quick pressure. It's tough. It's a tough way to operate. And so I think there's some structural issues with Jacksonville in their passing game. I don't think they make it easy for Trevor Lawrence at all. A little bit of a Ken Dorsey vibe there, to be honest with you. And then Trevor, just not a guy that's working progressions, not a guy that is understanding coverage rotation and where the space is going to be and making good decisions. So he's talented, but I don't know that the infrastructure is very good for him to be the best version of himself.
And a thought on this week's opponent, Sunday night against Baltimore, how much more scary does Derrick Henry make this Ravens offense? How does it change the way the Bills have usually been able to keep Lamar in check, if it does?
Yeah, it's weird. The Bills kind of been good against both Derrick Henry again and Lamar Jackson, and now you got to deal with them at the same time. The offense presents some unique challenges. Forces you to be really disciplined, forces you to tackle well. I think the big thing for the Bills is embracing a game script where they are aggressive on offense and get a lead, and you kind of force Baltimore to play from behind and try to make them a little bit one-dimensional. And I think that's appealing. I mean, Baltimore's pass defense has been really shaky so far this year, giving up the most yards in the NFL through the air. And I think that's a good recipe for the Bills. Be aggressive, throwing the football, get a lead, and then tee off. And I think, you know, game scripts matter a ton. That's, I think, the big plays that you saw defensively against Miami and Jacksonville are a result of game script and being ahead and being able to be aggressive on defense and putting teams in situations that open the opportunity for negative plays. And so hopefully the Bills can get a lead and do that again against Baltimore.
Quickly to wrap, because this was mentioned on the broadcast, Joe, what would you say to somebody that would make the comment the Bills have the best offensive line in football right now?
I think they're close. I really like what Indy has. I like what Philly has. I mean, the Bills are up there. They definitely have one of the better units. The pass protection's been outstanding. Tackles are elite. I think the middle three played their best game against Jacksonville. Cromer's outstanding. I mean, they're up there. You know, I'm more of a tier guy. Everyone wants to focus on, okay, this team's the best. All right. I mean, I don't know. There's five teams that probably deserve that. So, yeah, they're in the upper echelon of NFL offensive lines for sure.
Very good. Everything's great.
Yeah, everything's great.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. You should subscribe to Joe's podcast, the Locked On Bills podcast, wherever you get your podcast, right through the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get them. We talk every Wednesday. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Howard's going to pick the Bills. I mean, everything's great. I do like what he said there, and game script matters. what's the translation? The best defense is a good offense. Go get Baltimore out of their run game. We know they can do it, right?
You make them one-dimensional when you get
points.
They just did it to Jacksonville and Miami in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Where they, if they wanted to come in running the ball, we would have never seen it. They couldn't. They were down 14.
The Ravens have given up 16 pass plays of 20 yards or more. That is most in the NFL. That was from Sal Capaccio yesterday.
Okay.
16 20-yard pass plays. 803-0550. The Bills have given up four by comparison. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Rojas on the ground at third. Machado touches third. Fires to second. Out there. Out at first. Oh, my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. Will this finally be the year for the faithful?
There's clinching a playoff spot. Then there's clinching a playoff spot.
And by a triple play?
By a game-ending triple play, which is what the Padres did last night.
Wow.
The A's are also playing out their string. I saw a clip, Oakland television, and name from the past. Not everyone will remember this. You might not. Larry Beal. Do you remember Larry Beal?
No. No.
So Larry Beal was formerly a SportsCenter guy.
Okay.
And he went back out to Oakland. He's on a television station out there in Oakland. And he went after the A's owner, talking about how, you know, you're an embarrassment, blah, 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 telling the history of the A's and how this guy has ruined everything.
Yep.
And I saw Larry Beal. I'm like, wow, Larry Beal, former SportsCenter guy. Anyway, the A's are, what, going to play in Sacramento for a couple of years, and then they're going to go to Vegas. And
there was an in-depth podcast I listened to a couple of months back that basically outlined that the A's right now are, it's like, it's Major League.
Yeah.
It's the owner has purposely sunk fan interest and sunk his own ticket. He's tanking. Yeah. He is tanking, basically, but not to get draft picks, to get the fans to stay away so that he could go to Major League Baseball and say, there's no fan support, I want to move to Las Vegas. But he's done that himself. Right? That's the concept of Major League, isn't it?
Pretty much. She wants to move the team to Florida, I think. Miami, maybe?
So she doesn't...
Florida.
Florida.
So then she doesn't want them to win?
Yes.
That's basically the answer.
And she's furious when they win.
I thought you were going to tell me you saw the video of the fan that ripped the seats out of the Coliseum yesterday and just decided, I'm taking these two seats with me. Yep. The A's. Oh, so Oakland's got no more professional sports left, huh?
I guess. I mean, the Golden State Warriors moved a little bit further south.
They're in San Francisco now.
Yeah.
Did they count that?
I thought they moved actually even further south than that.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought they were... Okay, maybe.
In San Francisco, Oakland is... It's the same market. It's across a bridge.
Would you just like San Francisco, though, if your whole life you like Oakland teams and your biggest rivals are probably the San Francisco teams? If you grew up a Raiders fan, don't you probably hate the 49ers?
Yes.
If you grew up an A's fan, don't you probably hate the Giants?
Yes.
So I don't know, like, that might be a tough transition. For sports fans,
it's not the same as St. Louis moving to L.A. I
mean, right? Maybe it's
worse in some ways.
So you might hold on to the Warriors.
Yeah. So the Warriors. I mean, if you're an Oakland fan and they moved, this is like the Chiefs, on some level. Like San Francisco didn't have a basketball team. The Warriors moved across a bay.
Right.
If the Chiefs moved to the other Missouri,
the other Kansas City, you mean?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, the other Kansas City.
Yes.
You're like, okay, I still like the Chiefs.
Right.
I feel like the Warriors didn't lose any fans, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong there. All right. Howard picks the Bills when we return here on WGR.